Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
नरंजाय नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदोजायामुदीरये नस्तप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतीतमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी सुताराजस्तमो भावा कामलोभादयश्चये चेतायतैर्नाम विद्धं सीतं सत्त्वे प्रसीदति. श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th canto 7th chapter. Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava. Text number 14. Sri Uddhava Vacha Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogatman Yoga Sambhava Nishreyasaya Me Proktas Tyaga Sanyasa Lakshanaha. Shri Uddhava Vacha Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogatman Yoga Sambhava Yogatman Yoga Sambhava Nishreyasaya me proktas Nishreyasaya me proktas Yaga sanyasa lakshana Yaga sanyasa lakshana. Sri Uddhava Vacha Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogatman Yoga Sambhava Nishreyasaya me prokta Yaga Sanyasa Lakshana. Sri Uddhava Vacha. Sri Uddhava said, Yoga Isha, O giver of all results of yoga, Yoga Vinyasa, O you who by your own power bestow yoga even upon those who are unqualified. Let's break it down. O you who by your own power bestow yoga even upon those who are unqualified. Yoga Atman. O Supreme Soul realized through yoga. Yoga Sambhava. O origin of all mystic power. Nishreyasaya. O the ultimate benefit. Of me, Proktaha, you have spoken about Yaga, renunciation, Sannyasa, by the acceptance of the order of Sannyasa, Lakshanaha, characterized. Translation: Sri Uddhava said, My dear Lord, you alone award the results of yoga practice. And you are so kind that by your own influence you distribute the perfection of yoga to your devotee. Thus you are the Supreme Soul who is realized through yoga. And it is you who are the origin of all mystic power. For my supreme benefit, you have explained the procedure for giving up the material world through the process of sannyasa or renunciation. Purport. The word yogesha here indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead awards the results of all yoga practices. Since all of the material and spiritual worlds emanate from the transcendental body of Krishna, there is nothing to be achieved by any yoga process except Krishna and his potencies. And since the Lord remains eternally the master of his potencies, no one can achieve anything through yoga or any other spiritual or material process except by the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word yoga means linking up, and unless we link ourselves to the absolute truth, we remain covered by the darkness of ignorance. Thus Krishna is the goal of yoga. In the material world, we falsely try to link ourselves to the object of the senses. Man wants to link with woman and woman with man. Or one tries to link up with nationalism, socialism, capitalism, or innumerable other creations of the illusory energy of the Lord. Since we are linking ourselves to temporary objects, the relationships are temporary. The results are temporary. And at the time of death, we become bewildered when all of our connections are suddenly cut off by Maya. If we link ourselves to Krishna, however, our relationship with him will continue even after death. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, the relationship with Krishna that we have developed in this life will continue to increase in our next life until we achieve the supreme goal of entering Krishna's planet. Those who sincerely serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the transcendental lifestyle prescribed by the Lord, will enter the Lord's abode at the end of this lifetime. One can never achieve a permanent situation by mental speculation. And what to speak of by ordinary material sense gratification? By the methods of Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, etc., one does not actually awaken his propensity for rendering eternal loving service to the Personality of Godhead. Thus, one is bereft of the transcendental tastes of spiritual enjoyment. Sometimes the conditioned soul, disgusted by his failure to gratify his senses, bitterly desires to renounce the material world and merge into an impersonal, painless transcendence. But our actual happy situation is to render loving service at the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead. All of the different yoga processes gradually lead one to love of Godhead. And it is Lord Krishna's aim to re-establish the conditioned soul in this happy position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making this perfection easily available through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the supreme yoga process for this age. Sri Uddhava Uvacha, Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa, Yogatman Yoga Sambhava, Nishreyasaya Me Truktas, Yaga Sanyasa Lakshana. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord, you alone award the result of yoga practice, and you are so kind that by your own influence, you distribute the perfection of yoga to your devotee. Thus, you are the supreme soul who is realized through yoga, and it is you who are the origin of all mystic power. For my supreme benefit, you have explained the procedure for giving up the material world through the process of sannyas, or renunciation. Oma gyanati marandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurumilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chitana mano vistam stapitam yena bhutale svambhupam gadamayam dadati svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate grim yatkripadam maham vande shri guru dinataranam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivadhari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Uddhava is speaking here to Krishna, his dear friend and Lord and Master, about the science of Krishna consciousness. And in this particular verse, he is speaking about the yoga practice. We find the explanations about yoga practice in so many parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So many different yoga systems are given. The entire yoga ladder is given. The whole step-by-step process of how to achieve perfection in yoga is given. So nowadays, yoga has become something different, because the nature of the modern man is that he takes something and he isolates it from its source. Just like in science, you take a certain element and you isolate it from its source, from its original position. And then you play with it, you mutate it, you try to change it around and to do so many things with it. Just like, for instance, did you know that 95% of the strawberry flavor which you are eating is artificially made? Because the production of strawberries covers about real strawberries, you know, like the real stuff which comes from the earth, which is on the plant, connected to the earth. It covers about 5% of the world's demand for strawberry and strawberry flavor. So the other 95%, they are artificially created. Now, how do you artificially create strawberry flavor? Now, if you have any chemist or biologist or somebody who especially works with flavors and taste, we have a few companies in Switzerland who do this on a, you know, worldwide scale. They produce flavors and aromas, and not just for perfumes, but for foodstuffs, for scents, for anything, for a car. If you step into the auto salon, it's like driving here yesterday, I saw so many fancy showrooms for so many big vehicles on the way. Now, if you step into that showroom, you want to have a particular smell because your mind tells you, I want to buy a new car, so it's supposed to smell like this. Now, how does it supposed to smell like that? Well, that smell is created because most of the things are not, you know, are not smelling too much. Just like you try to smell this microphone, there's not much smell, you know, because it's a bit of metal and a bit of plastic, so there's no smell. So anyway, back to the strawberries. 95% of the strawberry flavor is artificial, and it is extracted from, anybody knows? You don't need to know this, but just huh? Nope. from wood chips. Because they found a molecule in wood chips, actually in sawdust, which is very similar to the molecule in the strawberry. And because they're so similar, they smell similar. So they have taken that and enhanced it, you know, they boost it. And that's what you are eating when you eat strawberry ice cream and strawberry soda and strawberry this and strawberry that. Do you think they put strawberry in that, you know, 75 cents tin of soda pop? Oh no, of course not. Strawberries are way too expensive to put them into those things. So what you're actually drinking is, you're drinking carbonated sugar water which is flavored by sawdust. And your mind tells you, oh, strawberry soda, this is wonderful, you know. They have all these names, you know, cream soda and this and that and the other thing. And that just shows you one little tip of the iceberg, how the nature of the mind works in the material world. So in the same way, yoga is the process of linking up with the Supreme. But in Kali Yuga, we have disassociated it from its original goal, from its original purpose. And out of the eightfold processes of yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, etc., etc., dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, we have just taken yam and niyam and asana. Not even yam and niyam, just asana. Yam and niyam means things which you do and things which you don't do. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, it stated, shuchau deshe. You have to live in a holy place. Now, I don't know whether Melbourne or Sydney or Brisbane qualifies as a holy place. It also says a peaceful place. Certainly not a peaceful place. You can go out at, you know, 10 at night and you hit the traffic jam and you have wild people running around and driving around. So it is not considered a holy place, because the purpose of yoga is to fix one's mind, to fix one's senses on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you do not achieve this in any of the modern cities. So already from the get-go you're disqualified. Just like if you want to start in sports but you have not been issued a license to play in that sport. Now, in the beginning of the game, they look at all the players, at all the formation, and Oh, this guy, he doesn't have a license. He's disqualified. So in the same way, we're disqualified from material perspective because you're not meant to practice yoga in the big cities. Because in the big cities, everything is not peaceful. It is not conducive for practice of yoga. Yam niyam, which is usually disregarded, things which you do, things which you don't do. Oh no, this is, we jump ahead. Let's do the asana part, right? So we do some bends and some twists and some different postures in order to feel more fit, in order to feel more healthy. But why are those postures there? They're there in order to regulate, to control, and to focus the mind on Yogeshwar, the master and lord of yoga. And not just to increase one's lifespan. And then of course, immediately after that, after yoga, after asana, and maybe a few pranayams, if you're lucky, a few breathing exercises. But then what is the purpose of it? Oh, in this yoga studio, everybody knows, people are looking like in yoga studios, in fitness centers, in gyms, in supermarkets. Everybody's looking, man is looking for woman, woman is looking for man. And there you go. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the senses, but they think, no, the purpose of the yoga system is to make the senses very strong, so you can enjoy the senses better, right? So you've missed the point. You missed the point completely. So here Uddhava has been glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and said that you alone award the results of yoga practice. And you're so kind that by your own influence you distribute the perfection of yoga to your devotee. We may endeavor in the process of bhakti yoga for a long time, but without the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we cannot achieve perfection. By our own strength, by our own potency, we may run at the speed of the mind, but we cannot capture Krishna. Pantastukoti, Satavatsara, Sampragamya. You cannot capture Krishna. You can go for however long you want. You cannot grab him. Because he's faster. He's more smart. He will be evasive. The only thing which can actually capture Krishna is bhakti. Just like when Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna with ropes because he had been a naughty boy and he had been doing so much mischief. So Mother Yashoda wanted to tie him up. She said, this is enough. Enough is enough. Now you're grounded. You're going to stay right here, right now. And I'm going to take this rope and I'm going to tie you to this mortar. And it is not, it's a small boy, 5-year-old, not too difficult to tie him up, right? And she's a grown-up woman. So she starts tying him up, but the rope is short. So she gets more rope and ties it to the rope. And no matter how much rope she gets, she's always 2 fingers too short to tie him up. So she becomes very exhausted. She cannot understand what's going on here. Why can I not tie up Krishna? But because her love for Krishna is so great that she expresses her motherly affection in this way, that Krishna says, alright, you want to tie me up? Alright, tie me up. And then she ties him up and he stays put for a little while. till the next mischief is starting to happen. And he knocks down the big trees, and the demigods come out and speak prayers. Krishna is only allowing himself to be captured by his devotees who have love and devotion for him. We cannot impress Krishna by yoga, by tapasya. Krishna is not a brahmachari. Krishna is not a renunciate. Krishna is not impressed by these things. Even though they are explained in the Shastra. And as Uddhava is stating here, for my supreme benefit, you have explained the procedure for giving up the material world to the process of sannyasa, renunciation. It is required In the second canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, if you want to give up the material world, you have to get free from sex life. Otherwise, you cannot get out of this prison house. Huh? That is the price you have to pay. But then the question is, what's the next destination? If you're not attached to this, what are you attached to? It's like in the purport it is stated that sometimes the living entity becomes very dejected, it becomes very frustrated with the attempts to enjoy material nature. And what does he do? He tries to give it all up. He tries to renounce. It's called smashana varagya. It's the renunciation at the crematorium, at the burning ghat. When the person is dead and you burn him, then everybody has some notion, some feeling of detachment. Oh yeah, this world is temporary. Oh yeah, you know, he was a good fellow. He tried so hard, but somehow he, you know, he kicked the bucket. So, so they get a little bit detachment, a little, you know, feeling of detachment arises in the heart. And people become a little bit inclined to hear about some philosophical, some even spiritual topics. But as soon as they go away from the burning God, from the burning place, then again, sense gratification. Oh, okay, let's party, you know? Let's go and have a big feast to commemorate the death of such and such. So, the living entity is very foolish. Is very much bewildered by the material energy. Unam pramatta kurute vikarma yat indra prite aprinoti na sadhu manye yata atmano yam asanati klesha da asha deha. Nunam pramatta, he's maddened, like a mad elephant. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, to control the mind is more difficult than to control the wind. It's like now you see there is some strong wind. They're quite pleasurable because it's warm, breeze. But still, very strong. How can you control the wind? You cannot control it. It's too powerful. To control the mind is more difficult than to control the wind. So difficult it is to control the mind. It is impossible to control the mind by material process. Just like if I tell you, don't think of anything. Just for 10 seconds. Just don't think of anything. Just void your mind. Be completely thoughtless. Only 5 seconds have passed. And it's so loud in here, in this room, because everybody's thinking so much. Oh, I have to control my mind. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, you know. How come I can't figure this out? Oh, it smells really nicely. What will there be for breakfast, you know? Or, you know, I wonder how long this will go on. I got stuff to do. I got people to meet, things to move, you know? So the mind is constantly babbling and going on with so many different important messages. So we cannot control the mind unless we dovetail the mind's propensity for activity and engage it in the loving devotional service of Sri Krishna. That is the only way to engage the mind. Vishavinivartante nirarasya dehina razavarcham rasopyasya paramdrishtvani vartate. By engaging the mind in the senses, in the service of the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevana Bhakti Ruchate. In this way, we can actually achieve this higher taste, this higher goal of satisfaction in Krishna consciousness. But if we do not taste Krishna consciousness ourselves, because we are still subjugated by the mind and the senses, then we will not be able to spread this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because people will take one look in your face and they will say, nah, I don't want to become like you. You just look miserable. If I buy this book, I will end up like you. I will also become miserable. I don't want this. So our first and foremost duty is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we cannot share Krishna consciousness with others. People will take one look and they will say, nah, thanks but no thanks. Huh? But if you are blissful and you're ecstatic because you have chanted Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, 16 rounds in the morning without listening to the mind, without checking the news and all the messages. Just focus on the holy name. Then that potency will carry over through your entire day, and whoever comes in contact with you will say, why are you so happy? What are you on? Can you tell me the address of your doctor? Whatever it is, I want the same thing, you know? Do you have some of that, you know? Is this under prescription or not, you know? Like yesterday, I had a little infection and wanted to go and just take something. And they said, now you have to pay $70 just to get a little piece of paper, you know, a prescription for some medicine. I said, thank you, but no thank you. So, in a material world, we are taking things which have no value to be very valuable. And things which are very valuable, we think that they have no value. So we have taken it upside down. We have not really understood what is important. What is of real value? People think, oh, you know, spiritual practice, become detached. This is, you know. No. Just not now, you know. Maybe when I'm retired, then I will take care of it. But not now. Because after all, I've come to this great land of Australia to enjoy, right? That's the common spirit, lowest common denominator. Everybody's roaming around completely bewildered, trying to chase after sense gratification. But if you ask them, my dear sir, my dear lady, why are you running so fast? What are you running from? Where are you running to? Oh, I don't know. I want to enjoy. I want to make money. Why do you want to make money? Because it will buy me happiness. Have you ever seen people who have a lot of stuff be happy?
No.
The more you have, the more worried you are, the more things can go wrong, can get stolen, you can lose so much. There was a fellow, he owned 75 billion. And then he had 100,000 employees. Different huge conglomerates in Germany, big fella, industrialist. Then he speculated, he lost it all, and he was another 20 billion in the hole. So he jumped in front of a train and ended his life. How desperate do you have to be when you're 75 years old to commit the sin of suicide? How desperate do you have to be? Because he thought, oh, my life is not worth living anymore. But here, of course, we are very modest. We are very detached. We have come here to Australia just to be a mate, to hang with the mate. Right? There's this great mood and spirit of mateness pervading in this country. And you can see it as an advantage or you can see it as a disadvantage. We should see it as an advantage. But as a disadvantage, you think, oh, I'm just a regular Joe. I'm just here putting in my time, making my money, enjoying my senses, and having a good time. And it's amazing. I was distributing books in Sydney, main station, and people were intoxicated by noontime. Okay, it was St. Patrick's Day, but that's no excuse. And not just the Irish. But people are drunk. They're on alcohol in the early hours of the morning. Everybody is on something. If you would take people away, their alcohol, their intoxication, their coffee and tea and cigarettes, within 2 weeks, you would have riots in South civilized Melbourne. You would have people torching cars, burning buildings, and storming into Parliament. Guaranteed. If you take away their cherry sense gratification, if you stop the TV programs, you stop the movie houses for 2 weeks, you'd have riots, you'd have war, civil war. Because people are so addicted to these things, they think they cannot live without them. They're so... Somebody said, what? Spiritual world, there's no newspapers, I don't want to go there. Huh? But what is there? What is there to read about? Huh? You may have 5 terabytes of so-called information, but is it wisdom? Is any of it useful? Is any of it important to your life? No. 70% of the people who own Blackberries, you know what the Blackberry is? It's not a fruit, you know? It's a mobile phone. 70% of them check their messages before going to the bathroom in the morning. You're so conditioned. Huh? Now, I want to know how many of us check our messages and check our emails before we take shower or before we chant Hare Krishna. So we have to know, what is my priority in life? What is really important to me? Do I say, now is the time for the Lord, and I will just chant, and the world can wait? Because even at 10 o'clock, believe it or not, the world will still be there. The problems will still be there, your messages will still be there, your emails will still be there, all your fan mail will still be there, all your hate mail will still be there. You can deal with the world after 10 o'clock. But before that is the Lord's time. And it is my time with the Lord. It is quality time. And I need this. I want this. It is a conscious decision. That is the process of yoga. To actually be able to make a conscious decision. That means yoga. If you are just running under the dictate of the senses, has nothing to do with yoga. That is dog life. How do you distinguish between dog and human being? Very easy. You take a bone and you throw it. The dog jumps immediately. He cannot help it. He's a dog. So in the same way, if Maya is throwing the bone of sense gratification, are we jumping? Or are we saying, oh, you know, thanks but no thanks? Huh? That's the question. Are we jumping? Or are we just saying, oh, another bone, you know, another day, another bone. So what? So we have to be a little honest. There has to be some introspection. That is also part of the yoga system. That we analyze our own position and our own conditioning. And we purify ourselves through the process of hearing and chanting and worshipping and associating and sacrificing our time, our energy, our money for the service of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, we will simply live in the illusion and create a mental construct, a mental creation of some sort of artificial happiness and some sort of artificial achievement. But when push comes to shove, when it's actually tested, it doesn't hold up. And what is the test? When difficulty strikes, when things get a little tough, when they get a little difficult, do we take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or do we rely on our own expertise? Do we throw our arms up in the air and say, hey Krishna, hey Govinda! And we take shelter of their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, and we pray to them in a mood of detachment, and we say, thank you, I was a fool, I was so attached, but kindly you have taken away my attachment. Or do we think, no, I want to keep this, not yet, not now, huh? Just a little longer, just another 28 years, and then you can take everything. Then you can have everything. But till then, just let me, you know, let me enjoy a little more. When you're dying, it's not tomorrow, it's going to be now. So we have to learn the art of surrendering to Krishna now, in the moment. And we learn this by chanting Hare Krishna, by worshipping the Lord, by engaging in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially when you go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Because then you are forced to clean up your act. You are forced to have this consciousness of, I am a servant of Krishna, and no matter what Krishna sends me, don't put it on the floor, the book. No matter what challenging situations the Lord will send me, it is all through His mercy. It is all through His kindness. Just like a couple of days ago, I was arriving in Sydney Airport from India, and it was a long flight, and we had to wait on the runway because there was a storm. So they couldn't even put the dock to the plane. So we waited for half an hour, and everybody got a little cranky. Then we got downstairs, and they could not take the luggage, clear the luggage from the plane. Because, you know, the unions say that when there is lightning outside, people shouldn't work outside with metal equipment. It makes kind of sense, because you can get electrocuted, and that's not very good, you know, because then you will cease to be a union member, and you will cease to pay. So you should not work outside in lightning, otherwise we lose money. It's bad business. No, it makes sense. So we had to wait for 1 hour till the luggage cleared, and everybody was getting exceedingly annoyed and having discussions of whether this is a good thing, the union thing, or it's a bad thing, or, you know, maybe we should bring in some people who are not working for the union and they should do the thing. Anyhow, everybody was busy texting and phoning and doing this and that. So I approached one gentleman who was there, suit and tie, Indian origin, with his BlackBerry. And so I borrowed his phone, because after all, Vodafone had cut off my credit, which I had from October, because after 2 months, all your credit, this is the material world, you know? You think you have credit, but it's gone. You think you have money in the bank? Oh, we're sorry, you know? It's gone. What do you mean it's gone? Yeah, it's gone, you know? We just had inflation and depreciation and this and that and the other thing, and, you know, we had to remortgage and refinance and move a few things around. We're sorry, you know? You just put everything away, but, you know, it's gone. So, no more credit. Can't make a phone. Please recharge your phone card. So I try to call these people and go through all the menu. Oh, this option is no longer available. This option is no longer available. Man, I want to give you guys money. I want to recharge my phone. No, you can't do it, because we don't have a live person to actually take your credit card information and to actually recharge your phone. So I can't make a call, fine. So I borrow this fellow's phone. And telling the devotees I'll be late. And then I start speaking with him, and he's a consultant, he's a big CPA, and he's working for a big reputed firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers. He's going all over the place. And so we go on speaking like that, and I, you know, he says he's from India, so I give him the Bhagavad Gita. And he says, yeah, my mother, she will be very much into this. And I ask him, well, what about you? I said, no, I'm an Aussie, you know. I'm an Aussie. I'm not a vegetarian. I eat everything, you know. What do you mean you eat everything? Do you also eat the flying cockroaches? No, I was just now in Brisbane. They have cockroaches about this big, and they fly, you know. Really scary stuff. You also eat those? Or only what comes packaged and shrink-wrapped, you know, from the shop? So anyway. That eating everything, you know, there is limits to what you eat. But anyhow, he was interested, so he gave me $20 for the Bhagavad Gita, and I thought, you know, it's good as the first act on being on Australian soil to distribute one of Prabhupada's books. But you could see how we spoke about this point, about the advantage and the disadvantage of this sameness, of this equality. So he was taking it in a material sense, that everybody just becomes the same. We are all just into the same thing. We all just want to make money, have our peace, enjoy our senses, and not be bothered, right? But the good thing about the sameness is, you can walk up to anybody in this country and tell them about Krishna, give him a book of Prabhupada, give him prasadam, and nobody will dare to question. Nobody will dare to ask, well, who are you? You know, do you know who I am? Do you know who my father is? You know, what caste are you from? You know, which side of the river were you born? How much money you got in the bank? These are not issues. Because the whole country is, it's all people who got off the boats and off the planes. It's based on immigration. So to ask anybody else, you know, so, where do you come from? It's not considered polite, right? It's just not something you do. So this is a great advantage, because you have other countries in this world where, you know, birth and social status and all these things, they mean something. But here, because everybody is in mateness, you know, same, you should use this, you should utilize this for preaching Krishna consciousness. But if we think that lowest common denominator, so now I can just do anything and anything goes, then it will become very much conditioned and will be bound up by these qualities. So, to engage in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the prime benediction for humanity at large. And we can cultivate this higher taste. But it is a conscious effort, it is a deliberate effort, and it is a daily effort. Preaching and book distribution is not something you do once in a blue moon or in December marathon, but this is something you do on a regular basis, just like you chant your rounds. Just like you know today, even it's Ekadasi, you know you're going to eat at least two meals a day, right? We got up, and we already, before going to the shower, we made up our mind, I'm going to eat today. Except the lucky ones amongst you who say, I'm going to fast today because, you know, no matter how much you eat on Ekadasi, you're never actually satisfied. So why worry and why bother with this eating business? Let me just rather fast and be peaceful and chant Hare Krishna. That's the intelligent people. But those who are not that intelligent or who have to do a lot of service, they think, no, I'm going to eat today. So with the same determination, with the same vigor, with the same scheme and planning ability, we should make plans to spread Krishna consciousness movement. Now, you might not know how. Just like you might not know how you're going to eat today. But I'm sure you will figure it out. Don't you? Somehow. Where there is a will, there is a way. You will figure it out. In the same way, if you have the desire, you will figure it out. Consciousness creates reality. If you have the consciousness, the desire that you want to do something, you will do it. You will put your mind to it. You will work hard, however long it takes, and you will get it. But if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you're not really sure about what you're doing here, then the outcome of this process will be doubtful. So we have to be very determined to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. That should be our Prema Kumartha Mohan. That is our summum bonum. Our cherished goal. We will not sacrifice this goal for anything. We will not compromise ourselves from being swayed or sidetracked or bewildered from this goal. We want to achieve Krishna's lotus feet. So, and in order to do that, we do whatever it takes. So we engage in the loving service of Krishna in the association of other devotees, and we practice bhakti yoga and all these forms of yoga, yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahar, dharana, dhyan, samadhi, they're all comprised in the process of bhakti yoga. They're all there. Therefore Krishna states, yoginam api sarvesham madgantena antaratmana bhajate Sharadavan bhajate yo mam yoge same yukta tamo mataha. Sorry, got a bit in last night, a bit late. the RAM is not yet, you know, up to the level where you can access the information on your hard drive in the proper speed, you know. There is some distorting frequencies due to lack of sleep and concentration. So this linking up process is very much required. But as long as we want to link up with nationalism, with politics, with sports, with men and women, we will be bound to this material world. Because as long as we bind ourselves to material objects which are temporary, we will be suffering. Because you get attached. But then that thing, whether it be your Vodafone balance, or your bank balance, or your wonderful toy, or your wonderful new shirt, or your so-called friends, or your so-called economic prosperity, it will be destroyed. Because time destroys everything.
in this world. Everything. It all gets worn down and it all gets destroyed by time. The time factor is so powerful. But still, we are determined. We are building castles of sand. I mean, think. No, no, no. Don't. I'm doing all right here. I'm doing fine. I'm putting my flags and my little trees and little cars and, you know, people, and it all looks good. And somebody might say, but, you know, what about tomorrow? Well, what tomorrow? It's going to be here forever. And the next day, it's all gone. It's all washed away. When you engage in devotional service and you preach Krishna consciousness, this is real money in the bank. Because any step you take towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. And there is no inflation, there is no depreciation, there is no scams, there is no Sakyam and, you know, Madorf and whatever, recessions and all these different, you know, tricks and ways how to keep you busy in the rat race. No. It is to your eternal benefit. And for that person who gets that book, also, their spiritual life has started in a very powerful way. And to them it doesn't matter whether you have distributed another 100 books or none, because they have gotten the book. So it does matter. Did it matter to you that you got a book of Srila Prabhupada? Yes, it did. So in the same way, we should become determined to spread these literatures far and wide. Because in the material world, nothing is lacking except Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is contained in the books of Srila Prabhupada. So by giving people Prabhupada's books, we give them Krishna consciousness. We give them the chance to experience this taste, this nectar. But we have to have the books with us. Just like you may think, oh, I'm not a book distributor. I'm an accountant, I'm a CPA, I'm a housewife, I'm a businessman, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a student. Yeah, fine. But any day of the year, you meet at least one person who you could give a book to. You wait for the bus, you wait at the train station, you wait in the bank, in the post office. There is always somebody who will say, what's that, this paint on your face? And you go like, oh, I still got tilak on, or, you know. Are you one of them, you know, Hare something? Hare Krishmas, you know? Yeah, and then, boom, the books comes out, right? Instead of giving them the half an hour talk, you just say, dear, everything's explained right here. And you can just give a donation. Always carry books with you. Everybody who's here. You should all have minimum one Bhagavad Gita and 5 or 10 small books. And you should have them in your car, you should have them in your briefcase, you should have them in your purse, you should have them wherever you go. Because when that person comes and is inquisitive and wants to know, and you don't have a book, how does that make you feel? Lousy, right? It's like you got a gun but there's no bullets inside, you know? Not very powerful, not very convincing. So you have to have the books. Then the books distribute themselves. They will fly. You don't have to do anything. You just don't have to obstruct. You just don't have to be in the way. Just like when you go on Harinam. Sometimes people are a little inhibited and they think, oh, I cannot do this, you know? I'm not a natural dancer. Did you study dance? You're not a ballet dancer. You dance very, you know, exuberantly. So it's not that you think, oh, I have to go to the academy and study dance, you know? No. You feel happy, you dance. You feel ecstatic, you chant, right? And then the holy name carries you and just moves you around. So in the same way, when you go on preaching, don't worry, what will I say? Whatever you have read, whatever you have heard from authority, that is what you're going to repeat. If only you can say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is perfect. If you can say that with purity and with clarity and with conviction, people will say, okay, if you say so, fine, fair enough. Give everybody a fair go. If it makes you happy, and you seem to be very happy, then there must be something to it. So that should be our spirit. We don't go out there to argue with the people, to convince them, to smash their arguments. We just go out there to share the gift, the treasure of Krishna consciousness with all living entities. And everybody can do that. I have a friend, he buys small books by the cases, and he gives them out freely because he has a job, he doesn't need the money. But still people say, I want to give you something. So he says, okay, if you want to give donations, give donations. And any time his box of books is finished, he's got enough money to purchase the next box. So never worry, where will the money come from? There is no scarcity. There is enough money. Huh? We just have to do the preaching. Then Krishna will send all the help. But if we are in scarcity mode and we think there is not enough money, there is not enough people, there is not enough resources, there is not enough love, there is not enough of all these things, then we'll always be a kripana. We'll always be a miser at heart. And we'll always just fall a little bit short. And we'll not be able to actually surrender to Krishna. Because we always have the mood, oh, not just yet, you know. Maybe, are you going to be here at 4 o'clock when I come back from work, you know? I'm going to give you a donation then. Or, can I come to your temple? You say, no, right now, right here. Huh? Yeah, but not now, you know. I want to give it to the Lord personally. But the Lord personally has told me to come out here to meet you today. So you can give it to the Lord personally. Huh? I'm the Lord's representative. Yeah, but, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So people go on arguing. Huh? Or they say, if you would have asked in a different way, I would have given you something. But because you asked like this, I will not give you anything. Now, Krishna is very kind. He's showing us our attachments and he's wearing down our false ego. Because the Lord is a very merciful Lord. He does not spoil us. He does not give us more than we can handle. Huh? So He allows us to become purified from our attachments, from our anarthas. Sometimes we think, I'm the doer. I can make this happen. I can speak very eloquently. I can present this in a very scientific way. And I smash all the arguments this person is saying. I've got a counter argument. And at the end the person says, thank you very much. No, I'm not going to buy your book. Why? Because you're such a smart ass. I just want to tell you no and see how you cringe when I say no, you know? So, just like the other day, I had a Swiss guy, and usually I'm very good, you know, with the people from my country, or I speak German and this and that. So I already thought he buys a book, and he was into yoga and he was into this and into that, and he already had his money out. And then he said, no. And I said, what do you mean, no? What do you mean, no? He said, yes. Now you say, no. This is not fair, you know? We have a thing going here. You know, you're supposed to, you know, go through with it. He said, no. And he didn't know why. I knew why. Because Krishna in his heart told him, no. Not now. Not yet. Huh? So Krishna is kind. He wants us to give up our attachment. Huh? And then you have people there so far away from Krishna that you couldn't be further away even if you tried to. And they just pick it up and run with it. So there is no material qualification necessary to practice Krishna consciousness. It is not that you have to be an MA, BA, you know, CPA, doctor, PhD, God knows what not. No. All you have to do is you have to have a little bit of sincerity. A little bit of honesty. But that price is too much in Kali Yuga. For most of the people, that is too heavy. You cannot pay this price. Because we have been playing games, we have been fooling ourselves, and we thought we fool everybody else for such a long time that to just stop for a moment and say, yes, I need Krishna. I need this. I need to engage in Sankirtan to purify my consciousness. This requires a little bit of humility. So I beg you, I plead with you, please must, you're all educated, you're all learned, you're all successful devotees. Please muster up this courage and take the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and give these books to other living entities. And you will feel blissful. You will feel ecstatic. You will feel the feeling Srila Prabhupada felt when he got off the Jaladuta with his box of Bhagavatams. And he just distributed his books and he lived from that. If you don't engage in preaching and in book distribution, you do not know what is Prabhupada's mood, what is Prabhupada's mission. You do not know what is his heart, his state of heart, why he made this movement, why he sacrificed sleep, why he sacrificed food, why he sacrificed his whole life to write these books, to build these temples, to create this association of devotees. You will never know it. And that is a great misfortune. For people sometimes come here and they think we're some sort of Indian, you know, Rotary or Lions Club. You know, we get together and have some social gatherings and, you know, we do some rally and we feed some people somewhere and we do some project here and this and that. And they think it's all, you know, moving stuff around. Because that's all they can see is stuff. Because that's their consciousness, their material consciousness. They don't see what's the motivating factor. What drives you to do this? Just like the other day, I was distributing books in Brisbane in front of Commonwealth Bank. And there was about 6 groups out there, you know, collecting for this, that, and the other thing, and giving out free stuff. Then one lady, she came up to me and she says, "So you're the leader of these, we're about 7 or 8 of us out there. So she asked, how much do you get off each book? How much do you make?" And I said, "Nothing." She was very confused. "What do you mean, nothing?" I said, "Nothing. We don't get paid. For months. We do this for charity, you know. This is our way." She couldn't understand it. Because for them, it's either hourly rates or per piece, or there's got to be some scheme, you know, something understandable. End of the day, I have to know so many dollars in my pocket. No. So materially speaking, to go up to people who you don't know might not be very comforting or not be very enticing, not be a very good proposition. You don't do that ordinarily. Because depending on which culture you come from, people are a bit more shy, they're a bit more timid, they're a bit more introverted, you know, they mind their own business, they don't get, you know, they're not so loud like in other countries. So they have a natural inhibition to, you know, just deal with anybody and everybody. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point, if the house is on fire, even if your neighbors don't speak the same language, you'll still go there and try to get help. Right? If you're in trouble, you'll still somehow make them understand, you know, that you need help. So in the same way, the material world, the house is on fire. I mean, if you're not realizing, you know, the economy is down, there's recession, so many things are going wrong, you know, global warming, this, that, and the other thing. So there is problems. There is serious problems. We get old, we get diseased, and people actually die, believe it or not. Even in Australia, it does happen. Even with Medicare. The death rate is still 100%. Isn't it? Even in Australia. You might, you know, do it in style, but it's still 100%. So there are problems here. Now what are we going to do about those problems? That's why we give people Prabhupada's books. Because these books are the user's manual for this universe. If you buy any kind of little gizmo, any kind of little toy, it comes a 196-page user's manual, you know, in 12 languages. Which button to press and how to do the thing properly, this and that. Now this universe is many million times more sophisticated than this little machine here. And we think, no, we don't need any help. We don't need any description. Even though we're helplessly lost in traffic, the last thing a man wants to do is to stop and ask for directions. It's just too much to bear for his ego to admit to himself that, you know, I'm lost. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. It's hard, you know. So you just have to stop for a moment. take out your map, take out your Bhagavad Gita, and read, you know? And there it is, very clearly lined out. Just like it says, how the whole game of the material world works. Jayato vishyapung sang, sangaste shubhjayate, sangatsang jayate, kama kama krodha vijayate. If you want to know how the material world works, you have to read Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise you don't know how this world works and how to get free from these influences. So that's why we're distributing Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And people come walking up to us on the street. I had it now the last few days. They say, so you're saying you're a monk, but are you a Hare Krishna monk? Yes, okay, then I give you a donation. Another person, suit and tie, you know, just after the red light, stops. He's in talking with somebody, full speed, he stops. He sees me, he says, Hare Krishna, right? He goes in his pocket, takes money out, boom. Gives me the money, says, good work, moves on, you know, talking with me. Other person, you know, I've studied all the movements, I've studied whatever is there, and yes, you're the good guys, you know, I take your book. So, people are not stupid. They're watching us. But they're not only watching us on the internet or what's going on here in the temple or at your programs. They're watching you at the store. They're watching you at the post office. They're watching you in the park. They see you take out the trash. People are watching us. So don't think preaching only means when I'm sitting on the big cushion and I'm opening my mouth and talking Bhagavatam. No. Preaching means when you're playing sports with your friends. When you're at school, when you're at the job, you can be preaching. For a Vaishnava is always reminding others about Krishna. And is always sharing Krishna consciousness by giving books, by giving prasadam, by giving the holy name. So we should not be hung up. And we should take the advantage of this great country, where you can go up to anybody and everybody and just ask them, so how's it going? And people will be able to relate to you and you can give them Krishna consciousness. That is a great advantage. So never take this advantage lightly. You should cherish this. You should take this as a great blessing, as a great boon. And in this way you become fortunate, you make the people of these lands fortunate, and you actually satisfy your spiritual master in Krishna, and then nothing cannot be achieved. For somebody who has satisfied Guru and Krishna, everything is attainable. And without the mercy of Nitai Gaur, even the most simple things become impossible. Hare Krishna. Any questions? We'll have a Sankirtan meeting today at 10:30. So we'll discuss more about the strategies and different ways how you can distribute books, even on the job or in whichever position you might be. We'll talk about strategy, techniques, styles, different varieties. So that will be 10:30 in the auditorium. If there's any questions. And we'll also give class tomorrow and day after tomorrow. I'm here till Tuesday night. Yes. We'll talk about this in the Sankirtan talk. Okay? So, any other question about the topic, the verse? Yes. Who said the goal of life is to be desireless? Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not possible. It's not possible to be desireless. We cannot be desireless. We have to transform our desires. Yeah, and how do you become free from material desires?
That's only possible by cultivating spiritual desires. Because it's like I asked you not to think for 10 seconds. And you cannot do it. In the same way, to stop desiring and to stop feeling is also not possible. We cannot do it. Because the inherent nature of the soul is to be full of desire. We have so many desires. So the only way to actually achieve freedom from material desires is by taking all that energy and dovetailing it, engaging it in Krishna's service, who is the Lord and Master of the senses, Hrishikesh. And only then can we get free. Not by some, you know, artificial mechanical process. It's not possible in Kali Yuga. So many have tried and they have all failed. So we cannot just become neutral. It looks very appealing. This way I can, you know, just be neutral. I'm Tathashta, you know? Yeah, but what does Tathashta mean, you know? Tathashta is that line where the ocean meets, you know, the land. Or on the fence. But you can't live on the fence. You can't stay, you know, on the picket fence. You have to go either way. So you have to make up your mind. So sometimes it sounds a little bleak or a little harsh, you know, that we have to actually get rid of all the material stuff, and it's heavy, you know. But Prabhupada said, you just add Krishna to your life, and the more Krishna you add to your life, the more the unwanted things will go away, the more the material desires will become less and less and less. But sometimes we have to actually consciously analyze, what are these material desires, what do they consist of, what's the nature of this material world. And we have to consciously make a decision that, just like, for instance, sense gratification. I'm the soul. I'm Satchidananda, full of eternity and all in bliss, right? Minute, small, but I'm spirit. I'm spiritual by nature. So how can I enjoy matter? It is not possible. It's like water and oil. They don't mix. I can't enjoy matter. Unless I agree to be subjugated through the ahankar principle, through the false ego, that I identify with this body, there is no way I can actually enjoy matter. So that's the price I have to pay if I want to try to enjoy it. And somebody wants to practice spiritual life, the proposition of being subjugated by the ahankar principle is not very appealing. Because he knows that this means so many other things which follow in line. Now, of course, we have a material body and we need to maintain our lives, so there has to be regulated sense gratification in order to be able to subsist, to go on living in this world. But if we do that in a Krishna conscious, in a sattvic way, in a mode of goodness way, then we can minimize 95 or 98% of the pains of the material world. But there will still be some residue. And we should see that as the Lord's mercy upon us, that He grants us this little bit of pain so we just don't get too comfortable and we can actually burn off some of our past karma. I don't know whether that answers your question or whether you want to to hear something different? More or less. Alright. It's still work in progress, you know? So, I'm not yet realized. So I can only speak of what I'm going through. I don't, you know, see yet beyond the mountains. I'm still stuck in the valley, taking the detours, you know, and going into the one way, and, you know, sitting in front of the mountain and going, wow. Yeah, I just have to find. Yeah, there's different definitions of pure devotee. Sometimes it's stated in the Shastra that if you just chant Hare Krishna, you're pure devotee. But then, you know, pure devotee is somebody who, as you said, has got no other desire except pleasing Krishna. He's not even concerned about his own welfare. That is pure devotee. So for us, it means finding such a personality, surrendering at their feet, and serving them. And then gradually, we can, some of those qualities will wear off on us. Because materially speaking, what is our qualification? I don't know how many here come from, you know, Saraswat Brahmin families with, you know, any show of hands? Anybody? Brahmin? Yeah. But then how much practice is there, you know? How much? You have to have the adhikar, you have to have the practice. Not just about the jhamma, you know? Guna and karma, what is our activities? Like that. How many studied Sanskrit? How many did tapasya? So they asked Prabhupada. It is stated in the Shastra that you have to undergo all these different purificatory processes before you can take up devotional service. But it seems that we have done none of that. Prabhupada said, I've created your good fortune. He has created it. That is the unique gift of Srila Prabhupada. So, we are very fortunate, we are very blessed. But we should never take this blessing lightly and think, now I've got the free gift, now I have the all access, you know, backstage pass, I can go wherever I like, and I can move freely. We should not think like that. Otherwise, the party's over, the backstage passes, you know, become meaningless. No. We have to constantly stay engaged in service, in a humble state of mind. Then we can chant continuously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hare.